Cause that's the bottom line.
Bottom line sports rocker podcast time. Week two in the NFL. Dead Air Dennis from Classic Rock 92.1 in Lexington, Kentucky. On a Wednesday evening, day number 10 of September, Beer Man from Classic Rock joins me. Hey, buddies. And live from Richmond, Kentucky, home of the Eastern Kentucky University Colonels, Brad Taylor. Hi, Brad.
Hello, fellas. By the way, Eastern did cover the point spread against Louisville a couple weeks ago. So there you go. You talk about cashing tickets. The Colonels are back. Are they? No, not really. But that's okay.
Had a good week. I don't know if you noticed this or not, Brad. You didn't seem to care when I texted you a reminder, but three of my four money picks hit this past weekend, and the fourth one would have hit if Baltimore hadn't crash-landed.
Well, that's a good topic right there, because I had Baltimore, but I got them at enough points where I didn't lose my money. So it's timing is so crucial, because by the time we got to game time, yeah, this line had been all over the place. And when you see Buffalo win by one and you were getting a point and a half with the Ravens, they, you know, that's okay. Especially when you went to bed and Buffalo was getting slaughtered and you thought, this is easy. Well, sometimes it's better not to go through that. But once again, timing is everything when it comes to these bets. And sometimes you just can't tell, especially when a game is so close to pick 'em like that game was.
Did we or did we not see teams that seem to be a little out of condition going into the fourth quarter, a la the Baltimore Ravens, Beer Man's beloved Bears, and also the what was the other game that I saw? I made a note of where the, well, you can throw the Dolphins in there. They seemed like they were unconditioned the entire game, but several teams seemed to lack the mustard in the fourth quarter, and it came back to haunt them. And compelling.
What? Who? Where? Yeah, your mother's a what? Oh, okay. Yeah, the fourth quarter of games. Is this from nobody plays in the preseason anymore? Should we go back to olden times, like when I was a kid, when preseasons were six games long? Just think if the preseason was six games now. How miserable that would be.
Lord.
Yeah. They used to play six preseason games, and that's when they didn't have this stuff now where, you know what, we're not even going to play our starters. The starters played. They showed those, and it was, yeah, old school. But times have definitely...
As much as I love football, the thought of six pre-games, you know, six games in the preseason seems excessive. Exhaustive, just to think about it.
What, just a few years ago, they had four. They sliced it down to three not long ago when they went to 17 regular season games. Eventually, we're going to have 18 regular season games and two preseason games, whether people like it or not. That's how it's going to be, and I look forward to that. More games we can bet on.
I feel like when it was four, it was always... I feel like when it was four, game number two was always the starters pretty much play the entire first half. And then game number four, the starters didn't play at all, and that's where you figured out who was going to make the team and who wasn't.
Right. Game three was usually the one that conventional wisdom and the thoughts were, this is the one that's going to be like the NFL week one. And then week four, like you said, they would just, you know, mail it in or whatever. But, yeah, it's... The preseason, it's like the Bengals. Joe Burrow never played preseason until this year, but we saw week one. It didn't really matter if he played preseason or not. He's still going to stink in week one.
Well, Brad, that's true. I mean, they didn't look good, but then again, we know that Cleveland has Joe Burrow's number, and, you know, we brought it up briefly last week on this podcast, so, you know, and there we saw evidence of it again, and Joe was in the press talking about the game. He was talking about how how great the corners are in Cleveland, Denzel Ward and the other guy whose name escapes me. But, you know, we know that Cleveland always plays Joe Burrow tough, and that's just the way the NFL works. I mean, you have to look at these historically, you have to look at these matchups and to see where the struggles are for these teams, and that will tell you a lot sometimes in these matchups. And with that in mind, we should get to the games.
Cleveland was one of Brad Taylor's best bets. He actually went 2-1. With his best bets, but 6-9-1 across the board. Dead Air Dennis started with four losses but finished with a best between the three of us at 8-7-1. His bets were 2-0-1, the Baltimore-Buffalo game being the push. And then I was 7-8-1, and my best bets were 1-2. So there you go. That's the recap. Let's get to the games.
Next game, week number two, Overreaction Theater Week, where everything we saw week one, the teams that won are going to the Super Bowl. The teams that lost should get rid of the coach and the quarterback and the general manager today. The Washington Commandos with Jaden Daniels. They are on the road at Green Bay, who arguably looked better than anybody the first week with Jordan Love. Packers, 3.5-point favorites at home. Total 48.5, a large total. Thursday night football, guys.
You know, I agree that Green Bay was one of the better looking teams. I mean, they took down a Detroit team that, granted, they did lose their coordinators, but Detroit looked a little lost in that game. That was one of the games that was, you know, on national TV. I think Baltimore and Buffalo both looked better than Green Bay, but, you know, all three of those teams kind of right up there at the top. I'm a little convinced, unfortunately, that Green Bay is that good. Jordan Love able to throw the ball around to four or five different receivers. Washington, I don't want to say they're a sham because they're a good team. I just think they're overvalued this year. I'm actually going to take Green Bay to cover in this one.
I'm taking Washington to cover. I'm taking Green Bay to win in this game. I think 3.5 might be a half point too much. Give me that hook, and I know Brad's probably going to follow up with me on this, and I'm excited to hear his analytics on it. I don't really have a whole lot of analytics in this game, really. I just think that Green Bay is on fire. They look really good. Washington has a couple of issues, mostly on the defensive side of the ball. Green Bay did not seem to show any chinks in their armor. I was really impressed, and I wasn't super high on Green Bay to start the season, but I will say that I did expect Detroit to take a step back at least early in this season. Having said all of that, I think this is a field goal game, and I'm taking Washington to cover, Green Bay to win. Brad?
I'm going to take the Commanders here. We like, of course, the Dogs in September, still hitting 55% to the closing lines. In week number one, the Dogs went 8-8 against the spread. So you just lost the juice if you played all Dogs like we did. Also, the total here, look out for a little wind in this one. But this is not Mac Daddy Stogie worthy, but 48.5 total is a rather large total for a team that looked really good on defense last week in the Green Bay Packers especially. But we will take the Commanders and the points on principle alone. But let's get to Sunday's games. All the big ones coming in now, and let's start the AFC East. New England Patriots, Drake May. They are on the road. They are now 1.5-point favorites at arguably the team that looked worse than anybody in week one, the Miami Dolphins and Tua. 1.5, Dolphins are favorite home. Total, 43.5.
I haven't seen any highlights from this game. I don't know that there were any highlights from the Miami game last week, and Daniel Jones on fire. Moving to this week's game, I mean, it's easy to love Vrabel and Drake May. These guys are going to make a formidable tandem, I think, in the future. But it's really hard to guess, really, still at this point, what is Miami? What are they made of? How do they respond to this devastating loss of getting blown out by Indianapolis? I don't know much about this game. I'll be the first to admit. But if it comes to laying down some small dollars on it, I'm going to take Miami and the points because the spread doesn't make sense.
New England's favored by 1.5. Am I reading that right?
Yes. No. New England is a – no, you're right, Dennis. Miami's a 1.5 favorite, total 43.5.
Miami's a 1.5 favorite.
Correct.
That makes sense at all. You know, I at the beginning of the year, I felt you took the over on New England for their over-under victory total because they were going to be favored in a handful of them. I don't think – I mean, we kind of saw Vegas coming into New England and winning that game. I think we also looked at the Dolphins against Indianapolis and thought, you know what, there's a lot of offense there, although the defense is so-so at best. I think New England's defense is significantly better than Indianapolis's. And Vrabel's a tough-nosed guy. I think New England gets their win here and covers relatively easily. I think Mike McDaniel has moved up to the top of the first coach being fired this year as far as a bet goes. But I'm going to take New England. But, yeah, you're right, Dennis. That line doesn't make a lot of sense.
And what
Brad, whenever you get a moment, I'd love for you to pull up the latest on the coaches to get fired this season.
I was just going to talk about that because Miami's coach now at 4-1, a head and shoulders above everybody else favorite to be fired, the first one fired. Second is the coach from Seattle. So that should tell you a little bit of what where the people are right now in terms of coaches getting fired. Who will be first? But in this one, yeah, you're right. The line does tell you something. Miami's the better team here. I want to take New England for our purposes, but this will not be Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. What will be Mac Daddy Stogie worthy is the under here, 43.5. Do you see either one of these teams putting up a lot of points? After what we saw last week, not a chance. And it's a divisional game, divisional unders. We love going with the unders in those. So under 43.5, my best bet in this game by far. New England and Miami. Let's go to the next game. Let's go to Cincinnati. Joe Burrow and the undefeated Bengals. They look like a powerhouse in week one. Kind of, sort of. This line was 5.5 when it opened. Now the Bengals are 3.5-point favorites over Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville coming into town. Total now 48.5, Bengals and Jags.
I like Jacksonville a lot this year, and I took them to win the division. And if you saw Houston play this past week, that's kind of what I expected out of them. But even though the Bengals were 1-11 going into the game last week in the first 2 weeks for the last 6 years, now they're 2-11. I think they get their second victory of the year up in Cincinnati. I think they cover. Cleveland, like you said, was a divisional game, and they've kind of had their number. Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken, when Cincinnati had that long, long losing streak, I feel like Jacksonville was the one that they finally beat. But I'm going to take Cincinnati right here to cover in week two.
Last couple of times these teams have played each other, the game has been pretty close, so I'm hesitant to take Cincinnati here. Let's echo back a few minutes to the conversation about coaches being fired. Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a month or two ago, you said that Zach Taylor was number one as far as the favorite to be let go early in this season. Is that true? Do you remember that?
I don't think I said number one, but he is definitely on the list. He is number six on the list right now. And that's what a 1-0 record will do. And that's how kind of maybe sometimes these markets especially will overreact, especially in week one, to give somebody some more time and give somebody less time. So that's why you see kind of certain teams like Seattle and Miami at the top of that list because they lost week one.
Mm. There's no question that Cincinnati's offense struggled against Cleveland, but we talked about it. We almost, you know, we basically said that we expected that to happen. My, the Jacksonville run game looked good last week. ATN looked good. So good. In fact, they let Tank Bigsby go to Dallas. So, you know, Jacksonville feels pretty confident where they are. Their defense is still a question mark, and I think they also suffered a power outage in the middle of that game, so you know it's hard to predict what kind of impact that had on the teams as they were sitting and waiting it out. Liam Combs, you know, he's going to be a decent coach, every bit as good as Zach Taylor. My big question is, can Jacksonville pressure Joe Burrow the way that Cleveland did? And I don't think that he can. My pick in this game is going to be the Bengals to cover the spread. I don't like it. It's not a favorite bet by any stretch, but I think the Bengals win the game.
I'm going to take Jacksonville here, but like you, I don't feel good about this. This is Fitzhard dogs in September, dogs after a bad season. But if you go by straight just analytics and numbers, Cincinnati should win this game. Jacksonville beat Carolina last week, and that was... Was that more them or Carolina looking bad? That was a lot of Carolina looking bad. I'll just put it that way. But, yeah, Jacksonville getting the points here. That's how I would play it, but not Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. Let's go to the next game, though. The Fighting Flaccos of Cleveland. The Browns with Joe Flacco on the road in Baltimore at winless Baltimore. with Lamar Jackson. Current line, 11.5. The Ravens are favored. Total, 45.5.
How does Cleveland rebound after the loss against Cincinnati? Because that was Cleveland's game to win, and, you know, the young kicker blew it, and you always hate to see that for any player, especially when they're new in the NFL. How much more money do you think it would have cost Cleveland to have kept their kicker from last year, whose name it completely escapes me? But I never understood that. Why do you want to put a brand-new guy out there when you can grab any guy that's experienced, and it cost them the game last week? I think Baltimore wins and covers this game, and it pains me to say that because I know that Cleveland is good. I know it's a division game. Well, no, I don't know that Cleveland's good, but I know that Cleveland has historically played Baltimore better than the team that they are during those seasons. You know, the two interceptions, they weren't Joe Flacco's fault. Fortunate defense from the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bengals' defense outplayed their expectations. I think that Baltimore is going to be a good team, and I think they're really going to come out angry. They don't like starting their seasons this way, but don't forget they did start off 0-2 last year. So give me Baltimore to cover this large spread, as much as I don't really care for it.
I don't have a lot of analysis on this one, but I defer to Brad to a degree. It's a divisional game. It's double digits. I'm going to take Cleveland right here, and if this is one that I lose, then so be it. But I know the statistics are certainly in Cleveland's favor right here. I think Baltimore is a significantly better team, and yes, they do have the emotion going for them. But you know what? If they won 24-14, would you think any less of them? Not at all, but that's only 10 points. Give me Cleveland. It's just too big of a spread. Brad?
You're right, Beer Man. All the systems we love to play are on Cleveland here. But like you, I don't think 11.5 is enough. I will pass on this in the real world, but if you made me bet it, of course I'm going to take Cleveland of the points. And look out for the divisional under here, 45.5. Also a no play, but yeah, just look out. That's how I would play it, of course, division unders and division dogs on the road here. But yeah, not a back daddy. Let's go to a next game, another divisional rival. The Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott are 5.5-point home favorites over Russell Wilson. Yes, he's still starting. And the New York Giants, 5.5, Dallas favored, total 44.5.
Once upon a time, Dallas had one of the best offensive lines in the game, and they were pretty formidable. That gave Dak a lot of time to get the pass out. I still think the world of this New York Giants defensive line. Obviously, I think Russell Wilson is going to have a significantly better game than he had against Washington. They couldn't get anything going. But I think it's a close game. I'm going to take the Giants to cover. I still kind of expect Dallas to win, though.
Who did the Giants play last week?
Washington.
Washington. Wow, back to opening the season with two straight divisional games.
A lot of teams doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seen that. I'm taking the Giants to cover in this game against my better instincts. But Dallas should win this one handily. You know, Dallas was okay against the Eagles. They ran the ball pretty well. Dak looked okay. They just picked up Jadeveon Clowney in the secondary. Now, he won't be out there a lot, but he'll be out there to give the other guys a break and learn the system. Brian Daboll, I mean, and the Giants were just embarrassed last week. I think that the Giants will be able to run this week. And I think they can keep it close, and I think they'll show up a little better. But how long before we see Jackson Dart behind center? Anyway, I'm taking, Brad, I'm taking the Giants to cover, Dallas to win.
Mac Daddy Stogie, give me the Giants. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak. Boy, they looked terrible last week, didn't they? How come Dallas is only favored by 5.5 after the Giants were run off the field in Washington and Dallas stuck with the defending Super Bowl champions for four quarters? Give me the Giants at 5.5 here. So many systems in their favor. Also, one of my favorite bets of the week, under the 44.5, divisional under here. Love this one to go under. You think the Giants are going to put up 20-plus on Dallas or anybody? I don't think so. I love the under here. It's one of my favorite bets of the week. Giants and Cowboys under the total. Let's go to the next game.
And that Brad, since we all agreed on the Giants in this one, we did agree on three of them last week. Hang on, it may have been four. We did agree on four games last week. We went 0-3-1 in those four games.
Wow.
By the way, the five most popular teams in the desert last week was 1-4 against the spread in terms of money on the certain teams against the spread. And in the Circa Millions contest, the top five picks in the Circa Millions, all five of them lost. So that should tell you a little something. Fading the public does very well for yourself all the time, but especially when none of us have any idea what to expect from a lot of these teams early in the season. So fading the public, always a good way to do this, and especially fading this show when everybody agrees. But
here's the fascinating thing about that, though, Brad. Yes, we're fading the public. I understand that, and it makes logical sense. But we're also, when it comes to the Circa Millions contest, we're fading would-be professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
These guys are supposed to be better than the average, you know, public player.
In my own little, I'm trying to keep an eye on. I didn't pay the $1,000 to get in this year, but I literally sent you all. This would be my five picks in Circa Millions. I went 3-2. If I was to do that every single week, I would be up toward the top. But I was kind of happy with my 3-2 in what would have been my Circa Millions.
I'm picks. Never happy with 3-2. Next,
you know, it's a win.
Dennis said he was not happy with 3-2. Next game. Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward. They're at home, but they're big 5.5-point underdogs now to the Rams and Matthew Stafford. Rams 5.5-point favorites, total 42.
I'm sorry, I got sidetracked by the news. The Rams, and what's the spread?
5.5, Tennessee.
5.5, that's what it opened up with on Monday. I got Tennessee to cover and the Rams to win. These early season growing pains for the Rams. Where's Brian Callahan on the coaches to be fired list?
Third.
He is terrible. I mean, he is.
He's third. Terrible. He's third.
Yeah.
The thing that helps him is
But the Tennessee what? I'm sorry.
The thing that helps him is he has a number one overall pick that they just drafted this year at quarterback. So that might save his butt a little longer. That's the only saving influence, and I apologize for that. Sorry.
He's been given a little bit more rope, yeah. But the Tennessee defense tightened up. Get it? It's a joke. The Titans tightened up against Bo Nix and Denver. A home game for Cam Ward, I think, weighs into my decision here a lot. And, I think this game probably comes down to the Rams defense. The under in this game is pretty attractive as well. But give me Tennessee to cover.
I'm going to go the other side on this one. I've talked about my affinity for the Rams this season. You know, Stafford played a whole game. I think he's kind of got his legs under him. Hopefully his back is okay. I know the Rams are going to be missing some offensive linemen, at least through practice this week. But I think the Rams are great. I think the offense is solid. I think the defense is better than average. Tennessee is just the opposite on both of those. So I'm going to take the Rams to cover in this game.
Mac Daddy Stogie, give me the Titans here, getting the 5.5. They competed well with Denver last week, not because of their coach and their quarterback took some very blatant sacks in that game, especially the first half when I was rooting like you know what to see Tennessee beat Denver. But Denver's a good defensive team. They stayed in that game. Tennessee at home. Yeah, I'm going to take them getting 5.5 against the Rams team. I don't want to say they struggled last week, but they weren't exactly lighting it up last week. They only put up 14. Give me the Titans. And getting the 5.5 here in that one, Mac Daddy Stogie for me. Let's go to the next game. Let's go to New York. Justin Fields. He couldn't do this with the Bears, but he looks like millions of dollars now with the Jets. They're at home, and they're 6.5-point underdogs to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. 6.5 points, Buffalo's favored. 46.5 total.
Boy, that is a weird number. I would have thought Buffalo would have been a heavier favorite there. And when you get under that magic number of 7, that really makes you pause. I would assume that line's probably going to move with the bets that are coming in before Sunday. Buffalo's just too good, and I don't think
you know, that I think the Jets had a good game against a so-so team, even though that so-so team came back. I think they're both average. Give me Buffalo to cover in this one. I may regret that one, and if it moves to 7.5, I would probably go the other direction. So I'm going to take Buffalo for the sake of this podcast.
Buffalo's secondary stepped up against the Baltimore Ravens. That's their Achilles heel of this year is, you know, potentially their O-line, but mostly the secondary and the defense. The Jets have the better defense, but they just didn't play like it last week. Maybe, you know, it's just the early season, you know, getting it under your belt, but they dropped the ball, so to speak, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They should have won that game. I think the Jets hold on and cover in this game. I think Buffalo probably wins, but Buffalo, I think, a little inflated and possibly feeling just a little too good and maybe expending just a little bit too much energy on a big game last week and a slightly shorter week. So, yeah, give me the Bills to win this one, but I think Jets keep it close.
Beer Man made a good point when he talked about the 7. This is 7. I'm going to be on the Jets, and it might be a Mac Daddy. It probably is a Mac Daddy Stogie. At 6.5, it's not. And I will take the Jets for our purposes. And but, yeah, this is – if I had the 7, this would be something I'd look at. At 6.5, I can't do it because it's just too easy for Buffalo – to just get that 7-point win. And you know, all the numbers say it's around a 7 anyway. So, yeah, the sharp money's come in on the Jets here. It opened 2 days ago. This line was 7. It's come down to 6.5. Some places I see 6 now. So, yeah, this is a spot where let's it's Jets. You might want to get it early because you got to lay a lot of juice with the Jets at 6.5. So, yeah, there's a spot where let's take the Jets, but not Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. But let's go to the next game. It is now Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions at home. They are 6-point favorites over maybe the most polarizing quarterback in all of football right now, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Total 46.5, Bear Man. What happened to the Bears Monday night?
Oh, what happened? That Minnesota defensive line overran Chicago's offensive line, and once again, Caleb Williams held on to the ball far too long. What's the line on this one, Brad? I never heard you say it.
6. Detroit by 6, total 46.5.
Trust me, I want to take Detroit in this game. 6 is probably too much. When you look at Ben Johnson, he knows that offense really, really well. I don't know what happened to Detroit against Green Bay. Were they just overwhelmed so early on that they gave up that quickly? I mean, I have a problem believing that, and I know the difference between week one and week two is a world of difference. I still kind of believe that Detroit is going to win this game. I think they're a better team than what they showed against the Packers, but Ben Johnson knows too many people on that team far too well and how to exploit it. If Caleb Williams will get on the right page, then I think Chicago covers. Again, I'm not sure if they win. Chicago looks significantly better than Minnesota until the fourth quarter. Hopefully they're able to play a full game here. I'll take Chicago to cover, but again, I'm not sure if they win the game.
Chicago did look better than Minnesota for the first three quarters, but Minnesota did not look good at all, and a lot of that was just J.J. McCarthy trying to figure things out and get his feet beneath him. Once he did, wow, what a turnaround in that game. Beer Man, put your earmuffs on. Caleb Williams, you're right, holds on to the ball too long, is not a good throw passer, he's not accurate. I'd love for Chicago to have a quarterback of the future.
Well, I will say this, if you watch the game, Caleb Williams basically dodged 4 or 5 sacks by moving around in the pocket. I was really impressed by that. But when they could have taken the lead, he overthrew T.J. Moore by 10 yards.
Well, he dodged a lot of people outside the pocket last year a lot, too.
But he took a lot of sacks.
There's no question that the guy can run. That's the problem, though. I mean, I think he defaults in his mind that, well, I can always just run. And that's why he's holding on to the ball long. I mean, Ben Johnson's got to coach him out of that. And eventually, I assume he will. But, you know, he's got to learn how to throw the ball, too, in the interim period. And their O-line is not good.
They're brand new. They're gelling.
Yeah, that'll take time.
Yeah.
So I love the under in this game. Detroit's O-line had issues too, and God, they look so discombobulated. They they didn't look any better, to be honest with you. I'm taking Detroit to win, Chicago to cover, and that's that, Brad.
I'll take the Bears to cover, not a Mac Daddy Stogie. You see that Detroit really misses their coordinators, both offense and defense they had last year. But one of those is now the head coach of Chicago. That means something, you'd have to think, except Caleb Williams is not Jared Goff, apparently. I'll still take the Bears here. By the way, this is the game last year where the Bears screwed up on Thanksgiving Day at Detroit, and basically their whole front office was gone and coaching staff was gone after that for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I'll take the Bears here, but not Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. Let's go to the next game, though, into Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers is back, and now he's a three-point favorite over Sam Darnold in Seattle. Total is 40.
Pittsburgh coming home. Their O-line struggled against the Jets. Did not look good against Justin Fields. The run game didn't look very good either, but I guess they did enough. Eventually, we'll probably see the Caleb Johnson kid there. But Pittsburgh on their home field, Mike Tomlin on the sidelines, Aaron Rodgers looking more like himself than he has in a couple of years. Give me Pittsburgh to win and cover, and go ahead and put a dollar sign behind it. Beside it.
Who would you have rather had in week one? Would you have rather had the Jets with a brand new coordinator and a brand new quarterback and all that kind of stuff, a quarterback that you're somewhat familiar with? Or would you have rather taken on San Francisco? I think Seattle travels across the country and wins this game outright. So I'm going to take the Seahawks for that reason.
There you go. Beer Man putting it out there. And I'm with it. I'm going to take the 3 points in Seattle here. Just basically dogs in September here. But I'm going to take Seattle getting the points here, but not Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. Pittsburgh might be on to something, and I might be on something, if you know what I'm saying. But let's get to the next game now, the 4 o'clock games. And we see that Mac Jones has now officially been named the starting quarterback for San Francisco as they travel to New Orleans. And Spencer Rattler, he sounds like a soap opera bad guy. Spencer Rattler. 3 points. San Francisco is now favored by total 40.5. Niners at Saints.
Boy, Spencer Rattler's coming to rattle your cage.
The thing that I was worried about with San Francisco last year is already coming to fruition with San Francisco this year in week one. And that's that they are an older team and they are getting banged up relatively quickly. I know Brock Purdy's not that old, but, you know, George Kittle's already on the IR. I do know that they wanted Mac Jones in San Francisco in that draft. I think he's going to be ready to go. New Orleans is just probably the worst team in football, and it's a shame, but they're rebuilding, and that's okay. I'm going to take San Francisco. They still have Christian McCaffrey. They still have, you know, a handful of players. I don't like that Kittle's not there, but, you know, San Francisco is just a better team. And like we talked about pretty much the entire offseason, they have an easy schedule. 3 points is not enough to give New Orleans, so give me the 49ers.
You know, the Saints are going to be at home, and I know that the Superdome has not been as lethal as for opponents as it has been in the past. But, boy, this is a tough one to pick, especially I didn't know that Mac Jones had been named the starter. Kittle obviously is out. San Francisco, so many injuries. I mean, it's tough to take them at this point. But, man, you know, I can see New Orleans tasting a little bit of blood and going, this is our one chance here to beat a really good team. We can do it. You know what? It's crazy. Give me New Orleans and the points. San Francisco likely to win.
I am also taking New Orleans in the points. Of course, the dogs in September. And New Orleans had the ball down 7 last 2 minutes of the game against Arizona last week when nobody gave Arizona a chance. Or excuse me, nobody gave New Orleans a chance against Arizona. I'll take the Saints here, getting 3, but I will say this. The Niners took a lot of flack for trading up and getting Trey Lance a few years ago. But they really traded up because they wanted to get Mac Jones. And they thought Belichick was going to get him. And they kind of got psyched out into and kind of social media into taking Trey Lance instead. And now it's come to all full circle 5 years later. Here's Mac Jones. He might be just as good as Brock Purdy, and that's saying something. Let's go, but I'll still take the Saints here. 4 o'clock games now. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. Eugh. They're on the road in Arizona, and Kyler Murray, Cardinals. 6.5-point favorites here. Total 43.5.
Arizona's one of those first-run teams. Carolina's front seven looked highly ineffective, as they have for several years now. Arizona's defense is on the rise. Gannon is putting together a good team. The secondary still a little bit of a question. Can Bryce take advantage of that? I don't think so. What are his receivers? You know, he's got the rookie, and then he's got the kid from last year, LeGrette. So I just don't. I know people thought they saw a spark in Bryce Young at the end of the season last year. I want to see it still. I mean, I'm going to have to see it before I believe it this season. I'm not buying into it, so give me Arizona to win and cover, and go ahead and put a dead air Dennis dollar sign by it.
Carolina, they didn't look that great last week. There's always improvement between week one and week two. Arizona didn't look that great either, but they won, so I don't think they're going to be as inclined to really get in there and practice hard. Carolina probably loses this game, but 6.5 is way too many. Give me the Panthers to cover. Brad?
Mac Daddy Stogie, give me the Panthers. Everybody saw what happened last week, and they looked lousy against Jacksonville. Bad team, bad performance week one, overreaction theater. Getting 6.5, and if you hold your water, you'll probably get 7 at some point this week. I'm taking Carolina, getting the points here. 6.5 right now, though. I'll still take them against Arizona. One of my Mac Daddy Stogies here. Bad team against a good team. Arizona won week one, but they played in New Orleans. That's not really something that counts. But let's go to the next game. It is Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. They're only 2.5-point favorites in Indianapolis, and Daniel Jones. Total 42.5 here. Colts looked almost as good as anybody week one.
This is one of those games where, like I was talking about it last week, where the line between Green Bay and Detroit didn't make sense. I couldn't comprehend why Green Bay was a favorite. And obviously we all jumped on Detroit right there. This is the line this week that doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. And normally that's where I'm like, okay, if it doesn't make sense, go with it. But, man, I still can't do it. Denver is significantly better than Indianapolis. I think the overreaction from the game that Daniel Jones had against a very weak Miami defense. Denver's defense is for real. I've already put 2 units on this game and jumped on it as early as possible, and I'm sticking with Denver right here. This line makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Indianapolis, I'm going to agree with you on this one, Beer Man. I think Indianapolis, credit to Steichen and Daniel Jones, but Denver is going to improve over last week. They're better conditioned, better prepared. Denver's going to come in stout and pressure Daniel Jones. Miami just looked lost last week. I think Indianapolis has to run to succeed, and I think Denver is incredible against the run. Give me another probably likely low-scoring game, and give me Denver to win and cover.
I will take Indianapolis here on principle alone, but this is not a game I'll have a lot of money on. This is a September dog. But, yeah, Denver's the better team. It's just, is this the right spot for them after what we saw last week from both these teams? Was it really the Colts were that good, or was it the Dolphins were that bad? I think Beerman was on the right track here. I'll take Indy, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Denver win this one big. But let's get to the big game of the week. The defending Super Bowl teams are facing off in Kansas City as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are currently 1.5-point underdogs at home to Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, 46.5 total.
Well, we had a couple of blockbuster games last week, and this one should suit up to be equal to the task this week. I think Kansas City wins this game. I think that, I don't think the world is going to, I think the world is going to take Philadelphia in this game, and I want to be against that. I think Chris Jones and company is going to take away Saquon Barkley. I think Arrowhead plus Mahomes plus Andy Reid plus Spagnuolo is going to amount to a Kansas City win. I just don't see them going 0-2. Give me Kansas City.
I'm kind of like you that I can't see Kansas City going 0-2, but I couldn't see Philadelphia beating the crap out of them last year in the Super Bowl. I've said for quite a while, Kansas City is not the team that they were a couple years ago. They just got hot in the playoffs. That's the only reason that they made it to the Super Bowl. But Philadelphia is a better team, and I think Kansas City does go 0-2 to start the season. So give me the Eagles.
The Eagles?
Yep. Brad?
Mac Daddy Stogie. Give me Mahomes and the Chiefs at home. You're right. They're not as good. They're not going back to the Super Bowl this year. But it's also a good spot for them. 0-1, mm-hmm. back home after a trip to Brazil. And the Eagles just had a divisional game that it was surprisingly closer than people expected. Give me the Chiefs. Outright winner at home. Getting the 1.5 here. One of my favorite games of the week. Give me the Chiefs in that one. But let's go to Sunday Night Football. Michael Penix Jr. and the Atlanta Falcons are up to Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy. Vikings, 3.5-point favorites, total 44.5.
It's that 3.5 is what makes me pause. You know, J.J. McCarthy didn't look good until the fourth quarter. The defense didn't look good until the second half. And they really kind of turned the game around after that pick six that J.J. McCarthy threw. Minnesota on 6 days rest. Atlanta on 7 days rest. Minnesota may win this game again. Could win this game late. But I'm going to take Atlanta to cover because it's 3.5 and not 3.
You what? Sorry, guys. We're getting bleed over. So you're taking who?
I'm taking Atlanta to cover because the spread's 3.5. It's that hook that brings me back, as Brad would say. Give me the Falcons.
It was -5 earlier in the week. The line is moving towards Atlanta. I think Atlanta covers. I think Minnesota wins. You're right, J.J. McCarthy started off slow, but boy, once he started putting it together and his confidence building, you could just see it on the field, his confidence growing. And when he threaded that pass to Justin Jefferson in the end zone, you know, you just knew the game was on that trajectory. Both teams played well in week one. McCarthy coming home now, being a little more settled down, having faced a division opponent last week, now doing the same against not doing the same division opponent, but now facing Atlanta. I think Minnesota wins this game, but I like the fact that this game is moving in Atlanta's favor, so give me Atlanta to cover.
Uh-oh. We all agree. Give me the Falcons getting the points. The hook does bring you back, Beer Man, and it might bring us all to losers if we keep going on the ones we agree on. I'll take the Falcons getting 3.5. September dogs bark like no other. Not one, but two Monday night games. First one, Houston Texans are at home. C.J. Stroud, 2.5-point home favorites to Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield, total 42.5.
Did people give up on Tampa Bay when they struggled against Atlanta? I know Houston's got a great defense, but their offense looked horrible. You know, Baker Mayfield has found a new favorite target in Emeka Abuka, and I think he's going to go with that quite a bit this week. A rookie going against a pretty decent defense, so he may not see the numbers that he did. But I like Tampa Bay right here. I've said it 100 times. I don't think Houston's that good of a team. So give me the Buccaneers in week two.
I got concerns and issues with Houston as well. Their O-line is a problem, but Tampa Bay's O-line did not look good either. Both of them kind of downplayed this in week one. Tampa Bay with the new offensive coordinator. And there are questions. I have questions about Tampa Bay's defense that I didn't think that I would quite have. So I don't know what we're going to see. And this is a hard one to predict. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say Houston not only covers, but also wins in this game.
Well, they're the favorite. So if they cover,
Houston is the favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I had it written down wrong. My bad. So is it 2.5?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking Houston to win this game and to cover. not a whole lot of analysis other than what I just said. It's, you know, I just think C.J. Stroud is a little better than he's shown in the last few games that we've seen him in. I think Baker Mayfield is made of nothing but grit. And I think it'll be a fun game to watch. And it also might be one of those under games. We might see both defenses step up a little bit this week to where they were supposed to be.
Wrong again. Give me the Bucs and Baker Mayfield getting the 2.5 on the road. We do see right now this line could hit 3. All the books here in Kentucky have a little bit of juice on Houston. Minus 115, minus 120. Hold your water if you're with us on this one. I'm taking Tampa, getting the 2.5 in Houston. The September Dogs will keep barking, we hope. And let's go to the last game on the board. Monday night, late night game. The Las Vegas Raiders are at home with Geno Smith, but they're home dogs to the LA Chargers and Justin Herbert. Chargers, 3.5-point road favorites, total 46.5.
I'll take your line there, Brad. Let's go with the dog here, the home dog and division dog. I'm taking the Raiders to cover this. I don't feel great about it, but I think the Chargers will win. Herbert looks solid. He's got a couple of new targets. Keenan Allen is back, and what's the other receiver that stepped up? Quentin Johnson. Stepped up with a good game in week one. So, you know, we're going to see what the Chargers have, and we know they have a good run game. Marian Hampton, I think, is going to be the real deal by the end of the season. He didn't have a blockbuster week one, but there are better things in store for him going because he went up against Chris Johnson and the Chiefs last week. I think better things are coming his way. I like the Chargers to win, but I think the Raiders can cover this.
I'm jumping on this one pretty quick before it potentially goes to 3.5, and it appears that it is leaning that direction. I've got minus 122. But, you know, Justin Herbert is kind of playing how we expected him to year after year. Against a great Kansas City defense, he kind of dominated. They are flying back from Brazil, but they're flying back after a Friday game. The Raiders have to fly back from New England, but they had a Sunday game. So not only did they both have a little bit of a flight, but, you know, the Chargers still have an extra couple of days rest. Like I said, I'm jumping on the Chargers quickly before that line goes to 3.5, and it is heading that direction. Give me LAC.
Give me the Raiders, Mac Daddy Stogie. Going to give me 3.5 in a divisional game at home on a Monday night. I'll take it every time. Give me the September Monday night divisional dog. And another best bet here, 46.5, a divisional under. Neither one of these teams lighting it up last week, although the Chargers did put up 20-plus on the Chiefs. I'm going to take the under in this one, under 46.5. There you go, folks. All 16 week two games from a handicapping perspective. All right, guys, your Mac Daddy Stogies, your best bets.
My best bets, I'm going to take Buffalo to cover against the Jets. I'm going to take Carolina to cover against Arizona. And I'm going to take Seattle to cover against Pittsburgh. Dennis?
I was hoping you would say that. I'm taking Pittsburgh to cover over Seattle. I am taking Denver to win and cover at Indianapolis. And I will take the Cardinals for their home opener, minus the 6 against Carolina.
Disagree on 2. Brad?
I have 9. Do I still have to really give 3?
Just give us
three?
Your
3.
God. Best bet of the week, Dallas and Giants under 44.5 points. Also like the under with Vegas and the Chargers under 46.5 in that one. And for a side, I want to take the Chiefs. Chiefs at home. Getting 1.5 against the Eagles, I'll take that. Those are my 3 of 9 Mac Daddy Stogies.
I'm not counting unders in our little extra game for best bets. Give me some of your best bets that are against the spread, Brad.
God, why do you have to be so difficult? Kansas City is 1. Give me the Raiders getting the 3.5 on Monday night. And give me the Tennessee Titans at home getting the 5.5. Those are my 3 best side bets. Although my Mac Daddy Stogies for those playing at home. Giants, Tennessee, Carolina, Kansas City, Tampa, Las Vegas. Unders in the games in Miami, Dallas, and Las Vegas. I got them in anyway. Suck on that.
I'm fine with you putting them out there. I'm just saying you got to give us your 3 best bets.
3 best bets, Chiefs.
I am formally issuing a counter on my lines pick last week. You said I was 8-7 or something, 8-7-1?
On our podcast picks, yeah.
I have 10-6 in our pigskin pick'em contest.
Well, I have 11-5 in our pigskin pick'em contest, so we make these decisions on Wednesday, and then sometimes we change them.
You're a jerk.
What do you want me to do?
Rick.
I want you to give me the 10-6 like I deserve.
We were all 16-0. Although we separate,
I was 11-5, Dennis was 10-6, and you were 8-8.
Let's give a big thank you to everybody who's listened through the podcast week after week after week, and everybody who makes it this far into the podcast. We appreciate you guys. Populate and share the podcast with your friends and your coworkers, and let's get this money. And Brad, I think, has something to say about our amazing sponsor,
our friends at Circa. Circa Sports Kentucky app. Go download it today, right now on your smartphone. You'll get the best lines, the highest limits, the lowest holds, best customer service, futures, props, sides, totals, live in-games, you name it, they got it at Circa Sports Kentucky. CircaSports.com for more information. And I want to run one thing past you guys before we get out of here. Circa Survivor this week. I'm looking at Arizona and Pittsburgh. What do you guys think about that?
I took Arizona last week. You're going to have to give me just a second, Brad. Let me figure this out on this board. Dennis, you got anything to think on this one?
I took Jacksonville last week. I was pretty happy with that. Brad, I'm okay with Pittsburgh. What's the rest of their schedule look like this year?
Well, this other than Cleveland, this is the best opportunity they'll have at home. And Arizona at home against Carolina. Going against Carolina again after I went against them last week with Jacksonville. This is another spot that Arizona might have their best spot going forward. Those are the two teams I'm looking at. I just wanted to run that past you guys and see what you thought.
I like them both. I like Arizona better.
Beer, man.
I don't like my options this week, especially when you look at the at-home teams. I may take an easy pass this week and go with Baltimore. I would love Arizona right here, but like I said, I did take them last week. I would potentially look at Dallas against the Giants, but that's a divisional game, which kind of scares me a little bit. So yeah, if I'm taking a home team, let's look at Baltimore right now.
Yeah, I try to stay away from divisional games, but the thing about Baltimore, yeah, this is going to be an easy game for them, quote unquote, but they're one of these holiday teams. And you've got to kind of save a lot of these holiday teams because Thanksgiving, Thursday and Friday, and Christmas Day are a separate week all to their own in Circa Survivor. So you got to kind of save them to make sure you at least have somebody with a chance on the holidays. So that's what Baltimore is going to be. So that's why I'm kind of saving them. So, yeah, that's why Arizona and Pittsburgh are the choices for this week. So, yeah, it's 20 weeks into Circa Survivor, so you got to kind of look ahead with the holiday teams in mind. So, I appreciate your guys' input. I will take everything. I mean, nothing. I mean, everything you said into consideration when making my picks. Thank you.
Closing thoughts, fellas.
I'm looking to see who improves drastically over week one. Like I said, there's a lot of growth between week one and week two. A team that played really bad typically will play really good in week two, and sometimes vice versa.
Reading the tea leaves, Beer Man is saying he hopes his Bears improve.
Definitely the case. But, I mean, I look at some of these games that the line just doesn't make sense, and usually I go with that because Vegas knows more than I do. But I just – Denver, I don't understand that one at all this week.
I've got a closing thought. Let's stop allowing the media and television and CNN and MSNBC and some of these channels to dictate how we feel about our brothers and sisters standing next to us when we're at the restaurant or on the street corner or on a subway train. Let's just forget about politics for a little bit. That's it from here at the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast for week number two in the NFL 2025 season. Brad, take us home.
Thanks so much for joining us. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Winners be yours.
Oh, I thought you always said may the winners be squirrels. That's weird. I always miss. I guess I just misheard that through the years.